Well, good morning. I'm glad we all enjoyed that extra hour of sleep last night. I know I certainly did. And so we're going to continue in our series on the foundation doctrines of Christ. Last week, Janine, she helped us to learn about repentance from dead works. So now that, according to Scripture, we understand what repentance from dead works is, it's time for us now to move on. Right? Because that's the whole purpose of this series, for us to learn these foundational truths so that we can move on in building a solid foundation in our lives. And so the dead works, just to review, is any attempt to find favor, earn acceptance, or be made righteous before God by our own effort, our own ability, and our own willpower. Essentially, you can't do it yourself. And we need to lean on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so once we've learned now that we've repented of these dead works, and it was funny because it was my joke with those that came to corporate prayer last Sunday. I said, I'm glad you repented of your dead works and you're here because you want to be here. But now that we've learned what repentance from dead works is, we can now move on to the next stair. And so the next stair that we're going to talk about today is our faith towards God. Our faith towards God. I love talking about faith. It brings me excitement when I talk about it because it is one of the basic foundations of why we're here. It's because we choose to believe in God. And if you haven't believed and accepted Christ as your Savior today, then guess what? Today's an opportunity for you. We understand that repentance and faith actually go hand in hand. Why do you say that? Because the faith is dependent on true repentance. You can't repent without faith, right? And so how can we ever repent of our sins as a follower of Christ? Or if we're not a follower of Christ yet, how can we repent of unless the repentance is founded in faith? You can't, because everything is founded and grounded in faith. When we allow the Holy Spirit now to change our minds and thoughts towards God, he then starts to teach us on faith towards God. And so that's what we're going to look at today is, what is this faith? How is this faith developed in our hearts and in our lives, and what that all means? And so our faith towards God actually affects every aspect of our lives. It affects everything. It affects the way we relate to one another, affects our workplaces, it affects our very own relationship with Christ. How are we doing with that? And I trust by the end of this, we'll have a better understanding, and then we can start to build on our faith. And so let's go to our foundation scripture in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, and of instructions about washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, as I mentioned before, we're going to discuss today about our faith towards God. And so Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. How many of us are just today? In the New Testament it says, and the righteous shall live by his faith. Living by his faith, guess what, is actually his standard for us. Living by faith is his standard, because he can't do anything without us having faith. Amen. It's interesting that actually Paul and the writer of Hebrews uses this verse in Habakkuk to emphasize three of the books of the New Testament. So the just shall live by faith is actually mentioned in three books in the New Testament, and it reveals three truths in the New Testament. And so the first one we're going to look at is the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so we see that the emphasis is actually on the just in this context, which reveals that it's the truth of justification. And we see that in Romans chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified." So it's not just by what you hear, but it's by what you do that you are justified in the sight of God. Which brings to the second one, is the just shall live by faith, as mentioned in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And in this context, the just shall live, the shall live part, is actually what's being emphasized in this context, meaning that it's the truth of life. It's the truth of the way we live in Christ, in faith, that we don't live to the law anymore, but we live only to Jesus and to his word. You still with me? Which leads to the third statement of the just shall live by faith, which is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." And so in this context, the just shall live by faith, the by faith part is emphasized. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11, where we look through that whole book of the heroes of faith. And so what does this all mean, Kevin? That the just are justified in Christ. They live in Christ. It is through faith in Christ. Do you see the theme? That it's all in Christ, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all in him. But here's the issue, is that there are many false views on what faith is. The same way we taught on what grace is in our last series, we had to kind of transform the way our thinking, go back to what the Bible says about what grace actually is. The same way we have to now go back and lay this foundation of what faith actually is. Not what we think it is, not what our parents have taught us, not what even pastors might have taught us a long time ago, but what faith, biblically, what it is right now and in his word. It's never changed. And so we have to weigh up everything according to scripture to find out if it's unscriptural, if it's anti-scriptural, and if it's unbalanced. Why? Because there is an integrity to our faith. There's an integrity to it. And that integrity lies in the word of God, in our faith in who Christ is. And so if our integrity is skewed, we have this wrong way of thinking who Christ is. And so the only way God is going to be able to build solid foundations of faith in him and in our lives is when all these false views are torn down and destroyed. So it all comes down to two things: what faith is not and what faith is. So that leads us to what faith is not. And number one, it is not intellectual. James chapter 2, verse 17 to 20 says, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" And so we see that Bible faith is not based in our heads, but it's actually in our hearts. That was good. I think that deserved an amen right there. Okay, wonderful. And so you see, this thing is that Bible faith is this living, it's this active, it has a heartbeat, and it's waiting for a target to aim at something to see and watch God do something incredible. That's what faith loves to do. It loves to find a target in your life, find a target in your workplace. Whatever that target is, faith is drawn to it because faith only wants to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. And so faith is so important in our daily lives. Amen. It reminds me of this story in Mark chapter 9, verse 14 to 29. It's about the father that brings his son that is demon possessed, has an unclean spirit, and so the father presses through the crowd and looks for Jesus and finds Jesus and says, "I need you to help my son. He's demon possessed. These demons are trying to kill him. They're trying to throw him in the fire. He's frothing at the mouth. Like, please help." He goes, "I tried to ask your disciples to help, but they told me that they weren't able to cast out this demon." And so Jesus comes to him and says, "Well, how long has your son been like this?" And the father says, "Since he was a child." And then the father says this. He says, "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." And here's the thing, is that Jesus saw something in him. It's not that he didn't believe in his head. But when he says, the father responds and says, "I believe, help my unbelief." What does that mean? I believe, I have intellectual faith about this, but help my unbelief because my heart doesn't line up with what is going on in my head. And can I just say, for some of us, we struggle with that, don't we? Where we have so much intellectual faith. I know what faith is all about. But when it comes to faith being activated in our heart, we struggle. We struggle. Yes, I struggle. And here's it. So we can read the word. We can listen to podcasts. We can come to church and listen to a great sermon like you're listening to right now. However, faith needs action. You got to talk the talk and you got to walk the walk. You with me? Which leads me to number two, that faith is not presumption. What does presumption mean? It means to take for granted or you suppose something to be true without proof. You see, if it worked for them, then it can work for me, right? If I just followed what they did, then guess what? It can work for me. You see, if Peter would have walked on water out of presumption and not because of a word, then maybe things might not have turned out the same way. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned." That attempted to do the same is presumption. They presumed. Why do you say that? The Israelites and the Egyptians did the exact same thing. One had a word from God and acted on that word. The other person did not have a word from God, but presumed that they can just go through the Red Sea. And we all know how that turned out for them. And so the tragedy is that most of us, what we call faith today, is presumption. We move places. We go from church to church. We go from job to job. We go from relationship to relationship. And sometimes it's, God did not even give us a word to do any of that stuff. But we just felt that we just wanted to go and do it. And then we call it, I'm stepping out in faith. No. If you did not get a word from God, it is not faith. Because God only moves on his word. Which leads me to number three, that it's not natural faith. Natural faith must not be mistaken for spiritual faith. Two different things. So we can see that natural faith is at work in the food we eat, in the chairs that we're so comfortably sitting down in now, in the springtime, smelling the roses, smelling the flowers, even now sensing that the snow is coming soon. And so it's based on our five natural senses in this natural realm. And so natural faith cannot believe God's word. It can't believe the realities of sin. It can't believe salvation. It can't believe heaven. It can't believe these things. Because only spiritual faith can believe spiritual things. It takes God's faith to believe God's word. And it goes beyond the natural realm. See, natural faith only trusts in the things that are seen, things that are temporal. And spiritual faith trusts in the things that are unseen and things invisible, things that are eternal. And so now that we've seen what faith is not, let's look at what faith is. Number one, what does the word faith mean? Faith simply means trust, confidence in another and another's word. It could be towards God or man. That's like if somebody comes to me and says, hey, Kevin, I'm there for you. I got your back. No matter what time, no matter what day, I'm going to be there for you. Then guess what? I have faith in that word that that person is going to keep their word. Right? And so faith towards God is simply to trust God, trust his word, to have assurance in him, to trust that his word is true, that he will never go back on his word, that he will keep and perform his word. It is to fully rely on God and his word and on God himself. Do we have faith in him? But here's the thing is that I think we've lost a sense of what the word faith and what the word believe is. Because here's what the word believe is. To believe means a committal and surrender of yourself fully to God, to his word, trusting him for all, embracing and obeying his word. So when I say I believe in God, what you're saying is I'm committed, I'm surrendered to all that he is, to his word, to all that he's doing in my life. I'm committed to it. Number two, the Bible definition of faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith is the ground, the foundation, and the support that causes us as believers to stand. It is the foundation that we stand on. You know, when we've done all to stand, what are you standing on then? What are you standing on? Because if that foundation is not founded and supported and grounded in faith, then guess what? You have nothing to stand on. It's the inner conviction of the reality of the things unseen. I'm convicted in my heart that even though I don't see it, I know it's happening, right? Number three, Bible faith is a spiritual sense. How many of us know that Bible faith is a spiritual sense? So Bible faith is committed and trusting fully in the things that are unseen, invisible, and eternal, like we discussed earlier. And so the same way we have natural senses in this natural realm, we have spiritual senses in a spiritual realm, right? I'll prove it to you. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Acts chapter 17, verse 22 to 28, the latter part says, that they should seek God, and I love this, and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. I just love how that's all written. Feel their way toward him and find him. If that's you this morning, feel your way toward him and find him. Psalm 45, verse 8 says, all your garments smell like myrrh. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 11 says, hear what the Spirit says. And so we see that there are spiritual senses according to Scripture, which leads us to faith towards God. Faith towards God, listen to this. The object and the subject of faith is always rooted in God himself. The object and subject is always rooted in God himself. This truth is essential, as a lot of modern teaching on faith is less of faith towards God and more of faith towards yourself. Right? That's what's being taught. And here's where I'm going to blow your mind, and where I had to ask God for forgiveness too. A lot of modern teaching is we need to have faith in ourselves. Have you ever said to somebody, you need to believe in yourself? Guess what? That is unbiblical. Nowhere in the Bible does it say for you to believe in yourself. And I've said that many times. And I said, man, you just got to believe that you can do this. And here's why it's not in the Bible. Number one, he asks us actually to believe in him. And he will do the work through us. And the reason why we don't say that is because if we were to say that to somebody, believe in yourself, then that is actually where pride can seep in. Oh yeah, I can do this myself. Right? And we all know where that gets us. So if that's you, don't say that anymore. Because it's unbiblical. Next, where Bible faith begins. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So two things we see here in this piece of scripture. We first have to understand that he is. That is, that he exists. Right? And that two, that he is the rewarder, a revealer of himself to them that diligently seek him. So that is the basis of faith. We must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so this is where faith starts. It starts with God exists, and secondly, that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. Do you know that nowhere in the Bible proves the existence of God? Think about that one. Nowhere in the Bible proves the existence of God. It does not say in the Bible, and there was this figure, there was this spirit man, and he just came, and doesn't say that. You know what it says? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Which means, if you don't believe that in the beginning, God, the rest of the Bible doesn't matter to you. It's irrelevant. Because if you don't believe that in the beginning, God, the rest of the Bible doesn't matter to you. I mean, were any of us around when God created the heavens and the earth? Was even Adam around? So how do we know that God created the heavens and the earth? Because of the evidence we see around us. Right? It's the evidence. And so what is the connecting link between the creator and creation? What is the connecting link between God and man? So Hebrews 11, it talks about all the heroes of faith. And if you study the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, you'll notice that based on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, you'll see it, that they all believed God existed, they saw him diligently, and they were rewarded accordingly. You'll see it. For all of them. This is some good news, don't you think? And so what is the source of our true faith? Listen, there is no foundation for faith other than the Word of God. Because faith can't rest on anything except the Word of God. There's no basis for faith without the Word of God. Why? Because faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 13 says this. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. See, faith will always come by a word from God or from the word of God. It'll always come from God or from the Word of God. And something interesting, as we've been hearing about in with Peter stepping outside the boat, and we talked about it all year. It's interesting that Peter stepped out on a word from Jesus, right? He stepped out on that word, and then he stepped out in faith on that word, right? But listen to this, is that it was the word that held Peter, not the water. It was the word. It was the word. No, but you don't understand. It was the word. Do you get it? Because in John it says that in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word. And so really what I thought was, it was the word come that he held on to. But it was actually the word Jesus that sustained him, that upheld him. And so it's one thing to hear the word, but always know where the word comes from. The power is actually not in the pages, but it's actually in the person who wrote the pages. And so what does all this mean? We're going to land here. Faith to faith. Faith to faith. How many of us ever heard of faith to faith? We've heard of grace to grace, glory to glory, faith to faith. Faith to faith, and simply what it means to go from faith to faith. I start in faith, and I'm going to end in faith. And everything in between. That's really what faith to faith means on this journey. And so Paul speaks of going from faith to faith in Romans chapter 3, verse 27. And there's just five things that I want to go over that we see. There's five aspects of faith in the word which cover our growth to maturity and then on to perfection. And so now there's this nice little fancy chart here. So it says, the just shall live by faith. And we see the just mentioned in Romans. We see shall live mentioned in Galatians. And we see by faith mentioned in Hebrews. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And essentially all this is just to outline the five aspects of faith. What the byproduct of it is, and what the fruit of it is, okay? And so we'll start here. So number one, saving faith, which is passive faith, trusting the word. See, saving faith is God's gift to the repentant sinner. It's where we look to God, not ourselves, and nothing we can do to earn his free gift of salvation. That's what saving faith is. And it's passive. Why? Because there's nothing that we can do. In passive faith, all we have to do is sit back and be like, okay, God, you do what you need to do. Meaning I can't do anything. I'm totally dependent on you. How many of us have been in passive faith kind of situations? So number two, fruit of faith, which is active faith, which reveals obeying the word. So fruit of faith is active faith through obedience. There's a time for passive faith where we simply trust the word, even when we don't understand, and all he asks is, do you trust me? And however, active faith is trusting the word, but now it is God who wants us to obey the word. Right? And so passive faith trusts the word. However, active faith obeys the word. How many of us loves the obey the word part? Yes, we do. Passive faith, you trust God to do it. However, active faith, God tells you what to do, and he works in and through you to bring his own word to pass. That's good news. I mean, I don't have to do it. All I got to do is obey him, and then he'll do what he needs to do through me to get whatever it is that he needs to accomplish. It's amazing that God would trust us. So why do we find it so hard to trust him? Number three, the gift of faith, which is the gift of the Spirit, which is the reveals the speaking of the word. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, faith is actually listed as one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And that's, of course, a whole other series or connect group. But to understand the this aspect of faith, let's just kind of review what we've learned already. And so saving faith is the gift of God, the Father, to the sinner for salvation through the Son of God, right? Through Jesus. And so this faith is available to all repentant sinners, right? If you say, hey, Jesus, I messed up. I'm not living the way that I want to live. I want to live for you. That's saving faith, right? So next we have the fruit of faith, which is the fruit of the Spirit, which is a whole other another connect group, which is available after salvation and is the result of our obedience to the word of God. Okay? And it's one of the nine fruits of the Spirit. So we have the nine gifts of the Spirit. We have the nine fruits of the Spirit. And so the gift of faith now is the gift of the Spirit after salvation and after the baptism of the Spirit. Okay? And the wonderful thing about this gift of faith is that it's given to whoever the Spirit wants to give it to. Right? It's not dependent on anybody. But the wonderful thing about that is that this gift of faith is the very impartation of God himself. It's the very faith of God. Have you ever been, I don't think I've ever been in that kind of situation, but maybe some of you have, where you just feel like, man, faith is just, I can ask for anything and it's going to happen. Not for selfish ambition, of course, but for his glory. And so I just want to give a couple examples. So we see the gift of faith in the Red Sea, when the Red Sea opened up. That was actually the gift of faith at work. It wasn't anything else. I mean, if you see a big Red Sea, a big ocean or whatever, just open up, you know it's not you. And you know it's not your faith. And even in Joshua chapter 10, when Joshua made, and once again, you think about these things and it blows your mind. Joshua speaks to the sun and moon and commands it to stay. Hey, moon. No, hey, sun, you stay right there in that position over Gibeon. And you, moon, you stay there, don't you move, over Ajalon. And guess what happens? The sun just stayed there for 24 hours. Didn't move. But guess what? It was only because God was going to give the Amorites over to the Israelites. And the one thing about that Bible verse I love, it says that nothing has ever happened like that since that day or after, that God would listen to a human being. Imagine having that gift of faith where you just speak to something and it happens. Whoa, we'll move on. The fourth thing, doctrinal faith, which is the teaching of the word of faith, which reveals the revelation of the word. And Paul calls the gospel the word of faith, which we preach. You see that in Romans chapter 10, verse 6 to 16. And so when the gospel is preached, the word of faith is released, right? Yeah, thank you. And so doctrinal faith is believing and accepting the facts and doctrines of the Bible as the infallible truth of God. We obey and hold on to these truths. And that's why we're doing this series, is that we hold on to these solid foundational truths that we can build upon. Which leads me to the last one, spirit of faith, which is faith perfected, the fullness of the word made flesh. Gotta love that. It is when faith is perfected in our lives by the Holy Spirit. How many of us want faith to be perfected in our lives? In 2 Corinthians 4:13, Paul said, "And having the same spirit of faith according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I spoke, we also believe, therefore we also speak." I believe, therefore I spoke. You see, it's believing with the heart or spirit and speaking with your very mouth. In other words, if I confess with my mouth, if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, I will be saved. It's the same very spirit of faith. It is the life of faith. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life of faith where nothing sways me, no matter what's going on in my life. I hold on to my firm foundation of faith. Amen. So in closing, what's the secret to faith? What's the secret to faith? It's keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher, some version says perfecter, of our faith. We don't look to the heroes of the faith. We don't look to the elders of the church. We don't look to the ministers on TV. We don't even look to our own parents who might be pioneers in the faith. Guess what? We don't look to any of those things, but we only look to Jesus. Our focus is always on the one who received our faith from. That's good. Our focus is always on the one we received our faith from. Remember, the just who live by faith will go from faith to faith until faith is perfected.